All right, good morning. I greet you in the precious name of Jesus. As I was getting prepared this morning and I was just feeling, I don't know, extra nervous. So I'm just going to get that out there. Then Matt said something to me that made me think that maybe it was just due to an after effect of all my coffee drinks that I was trying to make yesterday. It's making me feel a little jittery yet. So I don't know which one it is, but we'll probably be able to find out as we go along here. I really think that the approach to this new series that we're going to start is a little different. I feel like one of my giftings as a pastor is to be a little bit more evangelistic in my style of teaching and preaching, even if, you know, even evangelism can happen to the believers where maybe you're thinking one way and the purpose and the goal is to get you to kind of do an 180 and think another way as kind of an evangelist. But this one, when we look at a series, this is going to be four messages here in this series, but what I really hope comes out of this is it already builds on what God is showing you, what God is teaching you, that a lot of this stuff you may already know. There'll be a lot of stuff that might be new, but that the things that you do know, that it would strengthen and encourage you to continue on in your pursuit of who He is. And if you don't know it, then hopefully it will challenge you to grow in your pursuit of who Christ is. And I think it's going to be a fairly practical series. In terms of just really how do we go about waiting on the Lord? How do we go about living this out? Because we know what Isaiah 40:31 says, and we'll review that scripture. So our theme is wait upon the Lord. And we're going to look at this in four different sections here. The first is going to be still. And then my mouth just kind of dropped this morning when Kenlin opened up with, "Be still, my soul." And I think maybe that was God just trying to maybe calm some of those nerves or something. But I just like looked over at Sherry and was like, "You got to be kidding me. Be still, my soul." This is how he opened, and he didn't just sing the song, but he went into the purpose and the meaning of that song. And it just blessed me. So thank you, Kenlin, for opening that up, not knowing that the first message is going to be about being still. So before we go into this, let's go ahead and do what we normally do, is stand to our feet and just pick a prayer card here that just really speaks to you. Remember, we're lifting up the Lament people group in Laos that someday God will give to them the scripture that they can read in their own heart language. There's a lot of opposition right now with the team and some of the surgeries that Zach has had to take on his knee. He did a surgery, then he had an accident and had to do a surgery on the other knee. And it just feels like it's a setback to translation of this word. So there is a lot of opposition, and it just reinforced again how important it is that we are doing this as a church to continue to pray for the work of the translation in Laos. And then the other one is pray for Israel. We know the turmoil, that God has chosen Israel to be a representation of what it is to be, to look to Yahweh, to look at the Lord. This is who he is. He's chosen Israel as a representation, and they need revival. And our country needs revival. We need to pray for revival in our country. So let's just pray out loud and cry out in the name of Jesus this morning. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. God, I just cry out that you so just going back to I'm going to go back to the opening slide here. I'm kind of going to introduce a little bit some of these things that we're going to kind of go over the next couple weeks as just kind of giving you a creed. We've talked about it some in our leadership team in the past, this is kind of creeds that had formed out of some of these topics, but why do I want to give you a creed throughout all of this? Is I think the important thing, and Brendan, maybe this is something you need to do more teaching on, is the actual creeds, maybe how this kind of points to the health of a church. because I'm not going to go into depth on the creeds and this, and there are a set, creeds, but these are going to be a little bit more kind of, maybe, I don't know what you want to call them, a sub-creed to, you know, maybe some of the main ones, but maybe the reason for a creed versus just having something, you know, written in your vision statement or having a mission statement or having a statement of faith, whatever you want to call it, is because when you're in a desperate time of need, you need to have something to cling onto. You need to have something that you can hold. And my goal with this is to pound something into your minds and pound it in again and again and again over the next four messages in the series so that when you get to this point, you'll remember the creed and it will give you something to latch on to hang on to as you go through whatever you are going through. So the theme verse, and this has been probably one of my favorite verses, and it's been influenced by my dad, who this is his life verse. He's got, you know, if you go into his office, you'll probably see an eagle. You'll probably see, on his Bible, he has a painting of an eagle. It's been one of his life theme verses, but it's just been so powerful, and I'm sure that there are some out here that have really connected with this verse at some point in your life. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And so this is going to be kind of the theme creed that's going to come out of this. And creed comes from the word I believe or we believe. And so this is going to be said with this posture. This posture of our heart is going to be set in this I believe. So when we say this creed, when I wait upon the Lord, my God, he is my strength renewed. And the important thing is, and I've really prayed and spent a lot of time kind of thinking about this statement, because it's more than maybe something like this. When we wait upon the Lord our God, he is faithful to fulfill his promise to renew our strength. See, I think oftentimes in our relationship, we see a value of exchange that is like, okay, it's like a transaction. If we go to the Lord and we wait on him, we pay kind of that due. And then he's like, oh, okay, yep, that's enough waiting. Now I will then give you a trade. I will give you an exchange and you'll have strength. And just think about it like this potentially. If you have, how many of you guys have a gas pressure washer? Anybody have an electric pressure washer? Okay, all right, so actually, some of you probably have both. A gas pressure washer, you're going to have to go to the store, go to the gas station, you give them some money, then they give you a product that you want, the fuel, and you do this exchange, then you put this gas into your pressure washer, and it will make your pressure washer run as long as there's fuel in the tank. But you kind of had that exchange to where, and I know this analogy kind of breaks down because you got to pay the electric bill, but just bear with me. It's different with an electric. You just plug it into its source, and then it's there. It's just there. You turn that electric pressure washer on, and as long as you're plugged in to the source, it doesn't. You don't have to take any extra. You don't have to exchange. You don't have to, you know, get. It's just you're plugged in. And one of the things that we have to realize with this, the way this creed is when I wait upon the Lord, my God, he is my strength renewed. He's like you are, it's you don't actually have an option. It's not a transaction here. It's like if you actually wait on the Lord, it's like plugging into the outlet, and it's just, you better wait for it because it's going to come through the circuit, and your strength is going to be renewed. Because we see that in Isaiah 40 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It doesn't say, well, then will renew their strength or any other term like that. It is like you wait on the Lord. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And I love the definition of wait. It's to bind together. One of the definitions that I found is to bind together. So when you are bound together, you wait on the Lord, you shall renew your strength. And I'm going to go, these are a little bit out of order here, but They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So doesn't the very nature of creation teach us to wait and to be patient? Just think of it. I love this picture of thinking that kind of on average, a child takes about anywhere from, well, okay, by show of hands, I might know the answer already, but did any of your children start walking by 10 months? 10 months, okay. Around 10 months, okay. Any 9 months? Okay, 9 months. Okay, who is it, 9 months? Okay, all right. Any earlier, when did she start walking? 9 months, and back here, what did you say, 9 months, around 9 months? Okay, any child at 15 months, 16 months, kind of way later than what you expected maybe. Any, yeah, hands up, yeah, our kids, they wait a little while to walk. But anyway, my point here is that it actually takes time. We get all up in a wob because, oh my goodness, my child's not walking and he's 12 months old. You know, it's okay. Don't panic. But the thing that I want to point out is it takes time for your child to walk. You know, a wildebeest, a newborn wildebeest, is just 6 minutes. Just 6 minutes. And that newborn can be up and walking. Can you imagine how much things would change so quickly in your house if your little baby would be up and running on its feet in 6 minutes? Are you kidding me? And there's lots of other animals. There's giraffes get dropped pretty much 6 feet. And then they're up and running in, you know, 30 to 60 minutes. And a zebra, in 10 to 20 minutes, they're up, and then they can usually walk within a half hour. And camels, the calves can typically start walking at 30 minutes at birth. So my point is that there's lots of animals out in creation that actually, at birth, need to get up and going. But there's something unique about the way that God created. He could have made Callum just run out of the hospital on his own, because he knew how to do it for other parts of creation. But there's something that we need to know, and the way that he relays and it teaches us about the very nature of creation is just that he knew that Callum needs that time to depend on his parents, to learn from his parents, and to bond to his parents. Because I think there is something, when a child starts walking, then they get a little more independent. So they need to first create that bond. And the main thing with that is that if Callum was just up and he walks and he's up right away, he can do, let me rephrase it this way. There's something within me as a parent that needs to wait and nurture and foster that growth and development, just like maybe for another example, is a seed that you put in the ground. God could have just created you, put that seed in, and sing, you know, "Oh, MacDonald Had a Farm" twice, and then boom, there it is. Seems like some of our weeds do that, right? But anything that produces anything of value, of substance, it takes time. And you look at all creation, the rising of the sun, you look at the way that your children grow, the fruit that comes from a tree or in your garden, you look at the way the season changes. It all takes time. It teaches us to be patient and to wait. So the first creed that we're getting into is, and this is to kind of take us to our theme creed, that I want us to set the foundation, that if we're really to wait on the Lord, the first thing that we understand is that we need to be still. And so we want to just have this statement: I believe that to wait upon the Lord, I will be still. So let's take a look at this in three different points that I'm going to cover here. First question: why should I be still? What is up with being still? And I like to teach my kids sometimes to be still. Right? Right, Nazare? Yeah. Would we like to teach Reese how to be still sometimes? But what's up with this? Why is this a big deal? We've got to ask the question first. Why should I be still? And I'm going to give you the answer right away, but then we're going to kind of unpack it a little bit. It's to see the salvation of the Lord. So why should I be still? I'm going to read out of Exodus 14, verse 1 through 14, verse 14. Exodus 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pihahiroth, which between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal-Zephon, you shall encamp facing it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, they are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed towards the people, and they said, what is this we have done that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariots and took his army with him and took 600 chosen chariots and all their chariots from Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the hearts of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. Now, I want to just stop there and make a note. Just realize that, you know, they were headed out just feeling proud and mighty, or that they had the upper hand, or they were ready for battle or for war. They were leaving. And notice how quickly this changes, because the Egyptians pursued them, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamped at the sea by the Pihahiroth in front of Baal-Zephon. When Pharaoh drew near, people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, it is because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Sounds like they kind of lost their defiance. What have you done to bring us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. And then I'm going to turn to the slide here. And in 13 it says, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. And then in 14, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. The Lord will fight for you. And what is it you're supposed to do? Yeah, take up your sword and be ready to join the battle? No. All you have to do, it's kind of the Lord's probably nice way of just saying, get out of my way. Just stand back, because I'm going to take care of you. All you have to do is be silent. So why should we be still? Why should we even think about in a day, in the morning, or at lunch, why should we be still? I think it should drive us to see the salvation of the Lord. Number two, how should I be still? So we ask this question, why should I be still? Then we need to ask then, how should I be still? Because there's no point in knowing about why we should be still unless we know how to be still. And then this kind of maybe seems a little bit cliche to say, but it is a physical becoming still before him. I think sometimes we think, okay, we need to make our heart still or anything like that, but I want to unpack a little bit. Well, it's actually a physical being still that helps us transition into this waiting on the Lord so he can renew our strength. Psalm 46:10 says, be still. And this word is Rapha. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And some of the commentators that I looked and read about were describing this word as being a focus on surrender and letting go, but because you're just worn out. You're weak. You're done. This is just like you're still because you're just worn out. And it's in those moments, and I think we've all had those moments already in certain times of our lives where we're just wore out, we're done, there's a tragedy that happened, and it's in that moment that you know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Well, there's another form and another word in Psalm 37, verse 7, Damam. Before the Lord, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And this is a little bit more proactive. This isn't just a passive, I'm worn out, so now I'm going to be still because I have no other option. No, this is like when you actually feel like taking up arms, you feel like going into battle, like let's get something done. And this actually is the kind of still that requires you to stand back, hold back. You not get in the way, but allow God to show himself and wait patiently for him. There's a reason that it says wait patiently for him, because we're often so, we got to get on it. We got to go. We want to do this. We want to do that. And we're not willing to hold back. This kind of still focuses on quieting noise, and it becomes more of a physical motionlessness. Let's look at some examples of where else we find this word in Scripture. Joshua 10:13. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. It was an actual stoppage of something. The sun wasn't worn out. It keeps going and going. Or we keep going and going. Be angry, do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts and your beds, and be silent. The same word here for silent, damam, Psalm 4:4. Says you're angry. It's telling us and asking us and saying, do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your bed and be silent. It's saying, don't act out on the anger. Don't go storm the gates of your neighbor's door that night because you're so angry, but rather be silent. It's a physical stoppage. So we're never going to get to the other parts in this series where we're going to talk about listening, looking, hoping. That's going to lead us to this waiting. We can never get there if we first can't be still. We can't look, we can't listen if we don't just first be still. I believe that we wait upon the Lord. I believe that to wait upon the Lord, I will be still. Why should I be still? To see the salvation of the Lord. How should I be still? We physically become still before him. It takes time to master this kind of stillness. And even in prepping for this message, I was out and went to TJ Evans Park to study. And it took about 2 hours for me to just get into a place where, well, I need to, you know, quickly respond to this message at work. I need to, you know, try to get this lined up for the farewell or just, you know, all these like things that, you know, we need to do and just kind of unwind and unwind and unwind. And I was like, at first I thought, man, I'm actually getting attacked because of what I'm trying to preach about. And I was like, no, it's just that oftentimes being still is actually takes time to get there. And it took me about 2 hours until I could just kind of come to that just stillness of allowing God to then give me a posture in my heart where I could look and listen and hope. 1 Samuel 12:16 says, now therefore, stand still and see the great things that the Lord will do before your eyes. We can't see what the Lord is doing right before our eyes if we don't take the time to be still and notice them. And it was so fascinating. Just this last week, I wasn't able to run because I was a little bit had a little injury that I was dealing with, and so I put a 20-pound pack a vest, 20-pound vest, and I just walked while the other guys ran. And what was so interesting is I noticed things that I hadn't noticed before when I was just walking versus when I was running. But I thought I had noticed more things when I was running than what I had when I was driving. I was like amazed at all the things you could see when you're, you know, running along. And yet, it surprised me that when I was just walking, how much more I noticed. And I think that this is what what 1 Samuel 12 is saying. Now therefore, stand still and see this great thing that the Lord will do before your eyes. And I would imagine that if somewhere in that route, if I would have just stopped and just stood there in the middle of that walk and just stood there and looked around for 30 minutes, I would have noticed even much more things that were just there in that landscape. And then number three, how to know I am still. Because we're asking the question, how should I be still? Why should I be still? How should I be still? And then how do you even know if you're still? And I think one of the things that challenged me probably the most in some of the prep for this was just looking at Jesus. If I want an example of seeing how to live my life, I look and turn through the pages of the Bible and look at the way that Jesus was doing this. And one of the things that I just found kind of as a consistent theme is that he would find himself in lonely, desolate places to pray. I know that I am still? I think it's when you find yourself in lonely places to pray. It's when you can start seeing that this is still. There might be other reasons, other things that you can look to in your life and say, yes, that points to I know that I'm being still. But so I'm just pulling one example here. At times we may experience stillness due to exhaustion. However, there is a part of who God is that we only see when we hold ourselves back and we physically become still before him. It takes time. First, Jesus showed us, as I was looking at the way that Jesus was being an example of this, he showed us and he first encouraged us to rest and to be still. Mark 6:31, and he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat." They were so busy, the demands and the people and everything that were coming to them. And finally, Jesus is like, okay, we need to get away. It's okay. We can go to yourself to a desolate place and rest for a while. So first, Jesus encourages this. And then secondly, in Matthew 14:12-13, Jesus shows us again how he does this. And his disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. And this is in the context of them telling him that John the Baptist had been beheaded. And when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. He knew that he needed to grieve. He knew that he needed to process this, and he did this. And sometimes it kind of is hard for me to wrap my mind around this, because Jesus was and is God. If anybody should have just been known how to process this and move on, it should have been Jesus. But even he went to a desolate place by himself. In Mark 1:35, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out into a desolate place, and there he prayed." That one challenged me. He rose very early in the morning. It was still dark, but he knew he needed to go out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Luke 5:16. I feel like this is kind of the capstone of looking at Jesus' life. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And I don't think it is recorded in Scripture every time that he went and he prayed and he withdrew to a lonely or desolate place. It just says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And I think this is what enabled him. All of these scriptures that kind of describe, I think this enables him to then live this out practically. This is how it would look for Jesus, because he had this connection with his Father and he knew who his Father was through the time that he was in prayer. In Mark 4, 37 through 40, "And a great windstorm rose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion." Not worried. He's just asleep. "And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he woke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?'" And I think this is one of the main things that I think we need to realize, that when we are still before the Lord, when we take those moments to go and commune with him, to wait upon him, it's not just so that we can have this exchange like we talked about earlier, where, well, okay, now I gave you time, now God, you give me something, now you bless my life, now you do this. But there's something that I don't even know that I can explain or we can explain that happens in the spiritual realm when we're doing this, that enables us to then go out and live the life that he meant for us to live. Because this is the life that he was meant to live, that he was meant to be in the middle of this windstorm with his disciples. He was meant to be called upon and have his teachers question, "Why are we perishing? Do you not care about this?" And he was meant to calm the winds and the waves and saying, "Peace, be still." And we can have, and this is the blessing that we have, and this is the promise that we have, is that if we continue to be a reflection of Jesus and try to walk in his steps and be who he is, then we will also be able to be this for others, to be able to say, "Peace, be still," and calm the winds. And it's only through the grace of Jesus that he allows us to be a vessel in this way. I remember how this kind of impacted me when I first started going to the hospital just as a newly grad working as an RN. And it was okay as when I was working with my preceptor, because she was always kind of there, kind of guiding me through everything. But then after the 6 weeks or so, I was out on my own. And it's like, dear Jesus, I got to keep these people alive. And if they die, it's not going to be good. You imagine what every car ride to the hospital was as a new nurse was. Jesus, help me. I don't want to kill anybody today. In contrast, then when I started painting, I kind of lost that, because I didn't go into a house painting concerned that I was going to kill somebody, that they were going to die. The worst thing that I could imagine was spilling somebody's paint on their like $1,000, you know, sofa or on their floor. But even then, you know, worked some pretty good methods of cleaning some paint up in a very good way, even if you did have mishaps or spills. But to say, I kind of lost that fervent going and starting my day in that prayer, in that lonely, desolate place of my Honda Civic, being like, God, I need your strength today. I need your wisdom today. I have 12 patients that I'm going to be caring for in the craziness of COVID, and this is going to be a crazy day. Help me, Lord Jesus. See, it's in those moments when we find ourselves being wore out, that it's easy to be still, but it's in the moments when you're just a painter and you're not going to get worn out, there's not too many risks, that you have to be intentional about stopping and say, whoa, God, today I want to be the best painter that I can be, but I also want to be available to have discussions with people that I meet. And I remember starting to make that switch again, where I started intentionally praying on that level, and I believe God did open up doors to have discussions with people on a deeper level, and particularly going through that time of COVID, there was so many opportunities to have discussions with people as you were in their homes because people didn't interact much with each other. Psalms 46:10 reminds us, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth." Let's just say this out loud, this first creed. I believe that to wait upon the Lord, I will be still. And we looked here. I will be still. Why should we be still? To see the salvation of the Lord. How should I be still? We physically become still before him. It's more than just making our heart still while we're just busily running around. No, there's something about wrangling yourself physically that has a different feeling and impact to it. And then, how do I know I'm still? Find yourself in those lonely, desolate places praying to your Father. And I think this will start getting us to, and I really hesitate in preaching and teaching. One of the things that I do not want to get across is that this is a formula. If you just do this and this and this, it's going to lead to this, and you've just accomplished this. That is not at all that what we want to do. And I'm trying to unpack and trying to bring this in a way from Scripture that brings us to this. But I think that one of the things that if you are struggling, and we're going to see in the next three messages, if you're really struggling with waiting on the Lord, one of the questions you can ask yourself, are you being still? Are you being still? If you're struggling with waiting on the Lord, are you being still? And can we believe that to wait upon the Lord, I will be still? And this takes us to then the larger belief of when I wait upon the Lord, my God, because I believe that I can be still before him, this will lead me to our theme, and we'll say this together as well. When I wait upon the Lord, my God, he is my strength renewed. And remember, we are saying that with a posture of, I believe, I believe. When I wait upon the Lord, my God, he is my strength renewed. That's the first one in this series, be still. Next, next message, as I really kind of processing and thinking about it, is when we get to a place and our heart posture is be still, then we can start to look. We can start to look who he is, and that's kind of what we'll be going towards next. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for being faithful to us. Thank you for showing us who you are. God, I feel right now that there's just there's an important message here with what was just shared about waiting upon the Lord. And to be honest, I felt like it was hard to deliver it. It was a lot of I don't know, I can't describe what I'm feeling right now in this moment. A little different than any other message that I've given or feel in the delivery. So God, I just pray that you would protect the hearts and the ears of everyone that has heard this, that we may walk out of this building this morning just thinking about what it is to be still, to know that you are God. In whatever way, God, I just pray that you would take anything out that it wasn't from you, that only help us to remember the things that come from your word, that are from you. God, I just pray that you would show us a deeper revelation of who you are through our willingness to just say, wait, we're going to stop. When we feel like pressing in, we're going to be still and allow you to see your hand at work. So we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.